family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
Dutch, Jones, Dutch, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings and welcome to Stronghold Radio. On this, what is the 31st of May, 2011? It's flying by, folks. You're currently listening to me. I'm Dutch Jones. It's 5.02 p.m. on the Pacific Coast of the United States of America. And welcome wherever you are or whenever you are listening, whether you're a pod person, an embed, a downloader, whatever it is, we thank you for tuning in. We appreciate that you stop by, and we appreciate that you spread the word of what's going on here on Stronghold Radio. We've had a long weekend, a long Memorial Day weekend. We last talked with you on Thursday. Friday, we got too many internet problems to do a consistent show every single day. We found out that they've oversaturated the area with satellite receivers and transmitters or whatever for internet. So we're on when we're on, when we can be on. We're going to try to do it every day. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we appreciate you tuning in and listening. One of the problems is, of course, that we've just had a lot of work lately. Not a problem, that's a blessing, because we do need the money to support the family and pay for vehicles and lose braces.
I don't
have any braces. Well, you don't have any braces now, but if you needed braces, we wouldn't be able to pay for them, so that's why I'm throwing that out there. So if you do want us to stay on every day and help us out every day, the donations got to keep coming in. I hate being that draconian about it, but that's just the way it is. If I have an opportunity to go make some money rather than sit here and spread the word and not make any money, I have a duty to my family first. So you can do that at dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. Nobody's donated in a long time. We've had the regulars that have sent money in via the mail. We thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. We appreciate that. But a few weird things happened over the weekend, as always with us. Our car broke down again. We think it's just got dirty fuel lines, so we got to work on that. But we went to the cemetery up here on Memorial Day, which was yesterday, and there was a group from the VFW up here, the veterans group, that went out and put some flags on, and we wandered through the graveyard and took a moment to think about those that died in wartime. The problem is that they mark every veteran's grave. And I'm not saying that there's a difference between a guy who survived the war versus a guy who died in the war as far as how honorable they are, but it has to do with their sacrifice. So, you know, they even have Civil War dead in our California burial ground. I need to find out which ones are Confederates and go put little Confederate flags on their graves. But Memorial Day is supposed to be about those that died in wartime, those who gave up their lives in the act of combat or serving during a time of war. So many people want to turn Memorial Day into another Veterans Day, which I guess is better than just thinking about barbecues and water skiing. That tends to be what 90% of America thinks about. But it was a nice little thing for us to do, to go over there and do that. We had a good Sunday service. Pastor gave an awesome sermon, really lightly attended at church on Sunday. I guess everybody was out doing barbecues and water skiing, which is weird because the lakes around here, not ours, but we got snow. I guess it was Friday night we got snow. We could see snow on the peaks from our little valley here. Some of the lakes and the parks were down in the 20s at night, 20 degrees Fahrenheit, not Celsius. We've got some weird, wacky weather here. Warlin, who is up there in Chico last week, got a handful of tornadoes taking out groves, the fruit groves up there. They said something like 25,000 trees were destroyed. Out in the farming areas. So weird weather everywhere continues to be strange. And, of course, our prayers continue to go out to everyone that's affected by the harsh weather, whether it be tornadoes or just harsh weather. But it's just a good example of why we need to be ready, and you have to have a survival mindset, have to be ready to bug your family out in a moment's notice, have to be ready to pick up and move on when you've got nothing left. And that's why being a prepper, whatever you want, I'm a prepper, you're a prepper, wouldn't you like to be a prepper too? We need to do a commercial on that. Lou could sing it. You need to download the Dr. Pepper song for us, Lou, and then you could do a little commercial. No? He's just shaking his head now. Oh, boy. Let's see. Over the weekend, what else did we do in the news? All kinds of stuff. Oh, Bongo showed up to lay a wreath at Arlington, which is just totally hypocritical. He showed up in Joplin to talk about the disaster, and it was funny. They staged his camera opportunities, his photo ops. There was some people that wanted to move their cars and their debris and clean up the debris, and they stopped them from doing cleanup of their property because they chose this one specific site for Obongo to give his speech at. And they wanted it to look horrible in the background, even though people were like, hey, that's my stuff. Can I go get it? They're like, no. Weird stuff. Another guy was stopped. He got within 800 feet of the president. He was wearing a sidearm. He wasn't arrested or anything. He just happened to have a sidearm on because, you know, he's living in a chaotic time. And he had to surrender his firearm. They wouldn't let him take it with him or leave, so that was kind of weird. Moreland saying that the next-door neighbors know the people that lost their trees that got hit the hardest up there, so yeah. So even in California, we're getting tornadoes, Obongo. I think the bigger calamity is going to be those people that are relying on FEMA. A couple cities told FEMA to keep their trailers and get out of town. I like that. I heard it happened in Georgia and Arkansas. In Missouri, a couple smaller towns are like, no, we don't want your help. So that's good news. People are dependent on themselves. Let's see what else was there. It's bad when I miss you guys for a four-day gap because I see all the stuff that I want to talk about and I get all angry and start yelling at the TV. We don't have a TV. Yelling at the radio. We've got a sad story here out of Fresno. A two-year-old child yesterday got a hold of a handgun, a semi-automatic handgun in Fresno, and shot and killed his six-year-old sister. So, of course, you know, it's just a huge tragedy. And, you know, they haven't arrested the family or anything yet. The other siblings and stuff are still in the house. But a two-year-old getting a hold of a loaded off-safety handgun. And I often say this. I think everyone with an IQ of above about 70 should be allowed to have a handgun for self-defense. But I don't think everyone should be allowed to have kids, and I know that really rubs people the wrong way when I say that, but they're just some stupid. I don't care if somebody shoots himself. I don't care if somebody is so lazy they can't take care of themselves, they can't eat, but when they have kids, it really angers me. So it's hard for me not to pass judgment on this, but I know that the left is going to run with this. It's just another statistic where a gun in the house caused the death of a family member, which is very, very rare. And they're deciding whether or not to press charges. There were multiple guns in the house. They took them out. And some people jumped on that, too. But actually, one of the reasons they take the guns out of the house after something like that is in case a parent gets angry at the other parent and wants to shoot them for leaving a gun out, or a parent who's responsible for leaving the gun out wants to commit suicide. So I'm not even going to knock the cops on that one. But it's just a tragedy. People treat their guns completely different than they should. They don't look at them as what they are, a dangerous, dangerous tool that should be treated with respect. There's this fascination with guns, of course, by everyone, especially children. And if you're going to leave guns out, which we do, I've got guns out all over the place and access to, but my kids know not to touch it, but my kids are old enough now. You know, Lou's 15. He knows how to treat a gun. My daughter, who's 10 or 11 when she comes over, she's not going to touch a gun. She has her own rifle. But when you've got a two-year-old toddler walking around, you do not leave a firearm out and accessible. Put it on top of a fridge. Hide it. Secure your weapons. But what's weird is the same day that this happened in Fresno, one thing that they didn't talk about in the news was that two other children were at risk because of parental stupidity. One was out in the backyard with her mom, and her mom fell asleep in her chair, and the two-year-old or three-year-old daughter fell in the pool and drowned. The other one was being babysat by a teenage sibling, and he disappeared, wandered next door, and fell into a little fish pond, and is in critical condition in a coma right now. So two kids on the same day, relatively the same age, you know, waddlers, toddlers, but nobody's screaming about regulating backyard pools and fish ponds in the news locally here. But it's it just shows the bias and the importance it is that when you have children, whether you're a sibling or a parent and a family, to just look out for them. You're there to protect the innocent. Don't let your love or fascination, I don't even know how hard I could put it, you know, without offending anyone, but your fanaticism about firearms, which I'm a gun fanatic, I'll admit it, make you overlook your own personal safety of your family. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And unfortunately, they're going to run with it. This little girl will probably be a poster child to get people. Her parents will probably denounce guns. You know, I'm not going to critique them right now. They're hurting bad enough, although they are idiots for leaving a gun out. And I looked at the family. It looked just like a regular suburban family. You know, no weird demographic. They didn't look like criminals or anything, but that may come out later. It just breaks my heart to hear that a 2-year-old killed his older sister, and now, you know, they're going to have to explain to him, you know, who's that? What were those pictures? Who's that little girl in the pictures? They sent counselors out to the school and all that kind of stuff. So, cool. Ex-cop saying the mayor of a town would not allow folks to set up FEMA trailers up because of its town's code is unlawful for trailers. Yeah, they didn't want them all trashed a year later. So there's a lot of people, different folks are turning away for different reasons. There's those trailers. I know there was formaldehyde in them. I wouldn't want it. If they offered me a free FEMA trailer, I'd probably use it for a target somewhere. But it is kind of sad. But, yeah, there's several reasons why they're doing it. Code compliant stuff is going nuts around the country. Speaking of that, I just heard a story on the radio where a church back east, they trimmed some trees on their own property, and they were charged $400 a branch that they cut off. They illegally trimmed their own trees. Don't you just love code compliance, code enforcement? Stuff's just insane. You know, you don't own property anymore. The state owns it. The county owns it. The municipality owns it. You just pay rent there. Code stuff can be good. Code stuff can be bad. And it all depends where you're standing. And what you're trying to do, just like the things we're trying to do here with septic systems and things like that. Now, it's funny, the weekend is over and we have beautiful weather. It was cloudy and hazy the whole time. I'm looking outside. It's like nice spring day, probably 75 degrees. Great time to work, great time to get stuff done. We haven't done any gardening yet. We've been waiting for the last frost to plant stuff, although Stacy has done some seedlings of peppers and she's got some citrus trees that she's been taking care of. Ghost peppers. So, you know, I'd like to hear your stories. Email me what your successes are with gardening. If you're doing if you're like Olima, who's told me that she was gardening on her porch or something. I want to start hearing stories about that. We need to start really pushing that kind of thing. One of the things I've been doing to get ready is going through my gear and repairing it. We had a lot of training last year, and I put my gear. I have a lot of old gear, very few new things. I have a lot of hand-me-downs. I have a few new things, but everything I had seemed to have a certain thing in it that was just, there was nothing that was in perfect condition. Let's put it that way. I don't know. I'm trying to make myself sound more intelligent by finding better words. Everything had a little break in it. So I broke out some heavy-duty thread, some needles, and I was thinking about it. How many of these guys out here that are doing this stuff actually know how to sew? It is a skill that you really need to get down. It's not just about putting patches on things or replacing a button. But my backpack, I got my backpack out, and it had the whole top of it. You know how when you open up a rucksack and you've got that inner sleeve that pops out with the gathering, you know, the string in it that goes around, you can tighten it up to close it off the top? Well, it had separated about 12 inches around on one side and then a couple little spots, so I had to sew that back on. Whereas most guys can just go out and buy a new rucksack, I can't do that. So I sat there. I don't even remember what we were watching. We were watching some training video. I can't remember which one it was, but I just sat there and sewed this thing. Yeah, I think we're doing not CBC. No, it was no, not last night, the day before. But I sat down and I sewed straps back on. I sewed on one of my how do I put this? On one of my vests that I carry, a flak vest that I have, I attached an Aquaback water carrier cartridge to the back, you know, so you can put in a little bladder. I let out some of my gear. I have to admit it. I'm trying to diet, but I'm getting bigger. My doctor says it's muscle because I'm actually more physically active now. I'm building muscle up. And I got to get my metabolism to change to get rid of the fat, but I'm getting stronger and stuff. So I had to enlarge some things, which I did that. I had to move some Velcro around. And after the class that we had with Larry Wick, I started rethinking how I position stuff on my gear. So I was sewing things here, clipping things there. But make sure you got a good sewing kit. Don't go out and buy it. You know, you can have one of those dollar sewing kits for putting, you know, go to the dollar store or whatever, five and dime, whatever they call them anymore, and get a sewing kit. But no, invest in some good needles and some good strong thread. I have big spools of good thread, big spools of moderate thread, and then I got a bunch of little ones that I bought, and then I've got those sewing kits that you get for a dollar. I tried sewing with those sewing kits. The string breaks, the thread breaks when you're using it. You end up spending more time using the cheaper thread than using a thicker, bigger thread. Another thing I found is, say, like 6-pound test fishing string is a good thing to sew with, to sew stuff together. I was making like snaps and stuff, putting snaps on gear, stuff that fell off. A few things, I have recurring breaks on my mag holders. I have some mag holders that just keep breaking, and I keep putting and putting new snaps on and all that. And I gave up. I just figured out where I'm going to put them, and I'm going to leave them there. I super glued the snaps down and then sewed up around it. It's there. It's permanent. We're talking things that only cost a couple bucks, so, you know, if I need to get another one for another vest, you know, I won't be transferring it around, which is also a mistake, because if you keep doing that, then instead of having three decent levels of gear, you've got three sets of gear that are in disarray. X-Cop, I guess, heard what I said. If you use fishing line, strong and waterproof to sew with, yeah, fishing string's really good. And do that. But I sewed on a bunch of stuff. I did a few little trick things. I made sure I sewed some like first aid kits into them with a lining of things, you know, pills, bandages, things like that. Made sure the tourniquets were where they needed to be. So go through your gear. Go ahead and go through your gear, find the stuff, practice sewing. Every single soldier out there should know how to sew. Every militia member should know how to sew. It doesn't have to be pretty, but there is a way to do it right. Find someone who knows how to sew and say, hey, look, can you show me three or four stitches that are good? Because I'm here to tell you, if you can sew up something good on a vest or something, then you can make your uniforms last longer. Just about every one of my uniforms is repaired by me. My work pants, my lucky work pants, I, by the grace of God, made a mistake with a saw. And fortunately, I had a pair of pliers in my pocket, and it just cut through the pliers rather than my thigh. But I have a lucky pair of work pants that I sewed right back up. And I wear them, and people are like, well, what's with that big thing down there? And I tell them the story about, you know, a teachable moment where I screwed up with a saw on kickback. But learn to take care of, maintain, and prolong your gear by sewing it. Iron on, like I said, super glue. Here's a trick. When I was doing moving Velcro around on my gear to change things around, before I sewed the Velcro into place, I coated the back of it with super glue, pressed it on, rubbed it on. Was really lucky I didn't super glue myself to my vest at all. Usually I do that. Super glue it down into place and then sew it in. Gives a little added bonding, and super glue is cheap. Like I say, we pick it up at the dollar stores for our medical kits, because you can super glue small tears and things like that with super glue, so it does double duty when you're doing that. You can never have too many extra straps and buckles laying around, so start collecting those up. Because, like, on my backpack, I crushed the belt that comes around your waist to lock it into place. I crushed it, broke it. So I just went to my box where I had extra buckles, swapped it out, put in a new one. Sure, it's black and it's not tan, but I get by with it, right? So I wanted to make sure that, you know, all my gear was in order. I went through everything. I've waited too long in the past, 20 years ago, to do that, and you find like a peanut butter sandwich stuck in the bottom of a bag. You don't want to do that. So if you do it, you know, I can't call it, is it still spring? Yeah, it's still spring, so you can call it spring cleaning on your gear. Spring cleaning on your gear. Check for tears, check for loose buttons. Reinforce things. If you think you need to reinforce something, take the time now. And I did all this sitting in front of the TV. We were watching training videos, we were watching Mystery Science Theater, what?
What was the video?
Oh, we were watching Lethal Encounter. Oh, that's right. It was Lethal Encounters, that training duck thing there. So take the time now. I literally go through everything. Tomorrow, I think we need to work some, but I really got to work on the gear. And we're all not feeling well. By the way, I want to mention that Stacy's not in studio. She's not at the house. She's got some kind of spring cold. I'm starting to get it. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I'm not feeling that well. And there are no cups up here for water. We took them all back, didn't we? Great. Figures. I needed some water. Lou, why don't you run down and get a cup and get some water for me? I'm starting to get dry here. And be quick about it, boy, or you won't get a tip. So I'm taking the time now. You know, we were talking about getting our vehicles ready, getting our gear ready. I don't know how much training we're going to do over the summer just because resources aren't there. We don't have a lot of money for training after this. But I did speak with Larry Wick yesterday on the phone. I had emailed him, and we had shipped him some stuff back and talked to him, and he was very happy with the time that he spent here. He was really excited, and he's looking forward to coming back and doing some more training with us. I think that's the kind of training we're going to continue to do. The martial training, I think everybody can be doing that stuff on their own. When I say martial, I mean like with all the gear humping around the hills. I don't know if we're going to have the opportunity to do anything before fall here like that, but next, it's for June, next month, so it's still May, 18th and 19th, we're going to do a two-dayer here, but there's not going to be a whole lot of stuff going on. As far as putting all the gear on and running around, it's going to be scenario-driven stuff for medical and just command and control team stuff. But I encourage everyone for that weekend of 18th and 19th to bring your gear, bring everything, bring your cert gear and your militia gear, and we're going to camp out on the property. We'll sit around. Maybe we'll get a fire going because since it's been so cool and everything, it might be nice to have a fire at night. I'd rather do that than show a movie. I want to stay outside, so it would be nice to do that. But that's the kind of training we're going to be doing more. It's more skill set oriented rather than team tactics. We did that last summer. And I know it's good to do it, and it may pop up. We'll go, hey, let's just do a nighttime one or something like that. But start getting your gear together and maybe putting it places where you can get to it quicker. I don't know. I just got a weird feeling. I'm just sharing that with you. I'm pre-positioning stuff all around the house. I don't know. I don't have any inside word or anything, but I just want to make sure that when I grab a vest, it's going to fit. And when I reach for a magazine, the magazine's going to be full. Thank you, Lewis. You actually filled it with water. I thought you were just going to bring me a cup. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, that's not cold. There's no ice in that. I'm just kidding. Thanks, man, for running down there. So, just take the time. I got to go through and check our food, our survival food, rotate our old survival food into our mix, and then replace it this week with new stuff. And prices are going up. Prices are going up. We're noticing that because we have a very set budget on our food allocation, and we're noticing that it's not buying as much. Here we are. We've got 2 days before we go shopping, and we're out of just about everything, and that usually doesn't happen. We usually have enough, but we had to cut back on some things. Excuse me. We're going to go ahead and let's take a break early because I'm starting to choke on a popcorn kernel. Can you go ahead and get ready for a break here so I can go out? What we're going to do is when we come back for the second half hour, we're going to talk more about things we can do to prepare ourselves for upcoming possibilities and different ways to look at our gear. And I'll throw out the phone number. I want you guys to call in after the break. The phone number is 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. I want to know what you're doing to get your gear ready, or if you don't have gear, what kind of gear you're looking for, things like that. We'll be back on Stronghold Radio. I'm Dutch Jones. Thanks for listening.
Even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulent, leash up this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. Would you like to know the reasons why your taxes are so high? Would you like to know what fuels inflation every time you buy? Would you like to know who takes the biggest slice out of your pie? It's the Federal Reserve, and I'm here to tell you why. It's not that complicated to explain in layman terms. When something's really rotten, it is sure to crawl with worms. And that something really rotten happened in this nation's past. It's been feeding on our prosperity until now we're sinking fast. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all.
It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. How would you like to print up money on your very own private press and loan it out to all your friends at staggering high interest? Bet it wouldn't take too long until you own the whole neighborhood. Well, that's what the Fed's been doing since our Congress said they could. Now, our Congress shirked their duty back in December 1913. That's when the value of our money changed from gold to inky green. And when they shrugged the Constitution off, they damned this nation's fate. It was a blatant violation of Article 1 and Section 8. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. You got the FBI, the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission Agency, and they all have one thing in common, that is they're federal. But here's one thing, if you haven't guessed. There ain't anything federal about the Federal Express, and the only thing federal about the Reserve is that it's criminal! Now if I was to tell you that we're under martial law, and there ain't no sense in waiting for the final axe to fall, and that the money that we're spending's really military script, would you say that I've gone crazy? Would you think that I've been whipped? Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. No, the Federal Reserve isn't federal.
It's just criminal
at all.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Okay, we're back. This is Stronghold Radio coming to you from Cahuilla, California. It's a commonwealth right in the belly button area of Central California in the foothills. People around here call them mountains, but they're foothills. We can see the mountains from here, but we ain't in them. Right outside Sequoia National Park, the southern gate, the main gate. Gateway to the Sequoias, they like to call themselves. Of course, every little community around here does that. And we're at about 900 feet, almost 1,000. Nice little area. Hot in the summer, not too cold in the winter. Lots of water, lots of places to grow crops, lots of game. Great little survival place. That's why I picked it, and it turns out other people picked it too. And what I like to do every day that I'm on the air, I like to bring you a Christian, militant, separatist worldview. Not always right, but I'm not always wrong. Don't call me... don't try and label us. That's the big thing I want to say. Don't try and label us. Just listen. And I doubt anyone's going to agree 100% with everything we have to say here, me, and then the other nights of the week. Oh, I forgot to tell you. It's Tuesday, and normally we have Steve Klein on. We didn't do a show last Tuesday because we just didn't have the bandwidth. We got knocked off. And this week, Steve's got little Steve Arenos running around, little grandkids running around, so he can't be on. So we're just going to – we'll be doing just an hour show today. Last Thursday, when I say we have other people, we had Pastor Warren Mark Kimmel on, and he talked about what Memorial Day was all about. And we let that show run for the last 4 days. That was good. Got a lot of good comments in the email on that. I really enjoy having the pastor on. And an ex-cop and a few other people said we need to have like a Bible answer day. And pastor's all for that. And I don't know if it'll be this Thursday. I'll let you guys know probably tomorrow. But because I haven't seen them. I mean, I've seen them, but I haven't talked about it. What we can do is, you know, we'll get the phone line set up, and you guys can call in and ask the pastor questions. They don't call up to argue with them. That's not the point of the show. Just if you have questions, you know, if you want to debate them, you know, you can call, you know, you can call them at the church or something like that.
Thursday night debate, y'all.
Yeah, Thursday night debate, y'all. But we don't want to take up the time debating issues because we're pretty clear about what we believe. So if you just want to expand your horizon and find out about it, good. It's not that we don't welcome discourse, but it's just we have such little time. It's not imperative that we use that time for that. We'd rather use it for expanding minds rather than girding yourself against us. So, you know, we don't want you to sharpen your swords against us. That's we could do a whole different show for that. We could have a debate show. But you can do that. You can call in. So it's always good. But we're talking about things that I'm doing to get my gear ready, just little things that I've noticed to look at and see, batteries, things like that that you got to replace. But I want to hear from you guys. It's supposed to be a modern-day campfire, and I'm doing all the talking. So if you want to call in and tell me some of the things you're doing with your gear that you want to get this year, things like that, what type of things you've set up, things that you found that make it easier to prep your gear, 559-346-8362. That's area code 559-346-8362. It is a cell phone. It's an AT&T cell phone. And if you have a cell phone, I don't know, whatever your service is, but I'm told that it's cheaper than calling a landline or it's free or something. So you can call in and we'll put you on the air and we can talk about it. One of the other things, off on a tangent, we were talking about the rules of warfare. And you, it kind of ties in loosely. I'll make it tie in. When you're in a militia, like with the folks in Michigan that are responding to the tornado relief and all that, you have to have a designated uniform. And part of having a designated uniform is having a symbol or a patch, a unit designator on it. It can be as simple as a sash, a belt, an armband, but that other combatants on the field, that they know who you are so that you're not a illegal combatant and they will shoot you on sight. So to be a part of a legitimate militia, you have to have a patch. So that's something that we're looking into, coming up with a patch, trying to see what we could put together, you know, denoting our Christian leanings, liberty, that kind of stuff. So that's something we're working on to have before the end of the summer. We want to have a unit patch so that we can do that. Ex-cop's asking me, what do you think of small backpack solar panels? I think they're invaluable. Especially if you're using a lot of communications gear with the batteries, you're going to have rechargeable batteries. I've got little ones that are, I don't know, they're probably 5 inches long and 3.5 inches wide. And I've experimented with them. I've recharged batteries with them and stuff. And they don't add a whole lot of weight to your gear. I mean, they're really light. And there's some really nice anamorphic ones that are huge. Like I said, I'm cheap. I find older stuff and make it work. But, yeah, I think it's a good idea to always have some way to recharge your batteries. And I'm going to say it again here. Don't store your electronics with your batteries in them. You'll just ruin them. You know, the corrosives that build up, and it's just nasty. Make sure you check all your batteries. Keep them separate. Put them in when you need them. People go, but I don't want to have to reprogram them. Well, it's not going to do you any good if you open it up and it's just nothing but white fuzz coming out of the back. So, yeah, have a hand crank or a solar panel to recharge your batteries. We don't rely too much on that kind of stuff because Murphy's Law, you know, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. You're not going to have the batteries anyway. But if you're going to have them, you should have solar panels and things like that. Ooh, let's see here. Okay, who do we have on the line? Can you hear me?
The sound of silence.
Hello? Okay, hang on. Did you just plug it in?
Yeah.
Are you sure? I bet you didn't plug it in. Okay, hang on a second. Are you there? No, he hung up. Okay, let me test something here. Okay, let me test this. Is that in the headphones?
No.
Do you hear it in the headphones?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you don't hear it?
No.
I do. That's really weird. Okay, guys, we're going to work with the phone here, because now I tell you guys to call in, and then let me see if I can call Stacy. It's like nothing. Yeah, I bet. What's the volume? All the way up. Yeah, it's all the way up. Can you hear me now? That's just... Yeah, but it's coming out of the... There's something wrong here. Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so now we can't take calls. I'll tell you guys to take calls, and then let me make sure that Lou hooked everything up okay. Here, let's see. We all make mistakes sometimes. Let's see. Run this one. Run this one. Run this one. Yeah, let me do this. Take this out. I love doing this stuff. It's like this is like combat radio. Okay, let's see. Where's Mono? Mono's always left. Okay, now let me try it. I love doing this stuff live on the air. This is really a lot of fun. Okay, so let's go here. Let's go here. Come on. Is it coming through the headphones?
No.
Sure. No, it's not. Oh, great. Now my, maybe that's not it. It's like it's not even connecting. Yeah, see, it's just going through there.
Okay.
No, it's coming through the speaker. It's not converting over. You know what? This thing's probably had it. Everything I have breaks eventually. So now that's so... Well, you guys were going to call in. You're, you know, really good folks. You were... The phone actually rang. I really appreciate that. But what was I just saying about Murphy's Law? Now the phone's not working.
So try and break it, and it'll fix it.
So, yeah, I want it to break. Yeah, Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Let me reset the phone. Here, turn this phone off and on, Lou. You're the engineer. What am I doing? You should be doing all this stuff. So anyway, don't call in, Stace. It's not going to do any good because it's the jack. We're not even getting any audio through it. Turn it off. Turn it back on. Maybe it'll reset. That wouldn't do any good anyway. Let's see here. I got everything reset here. Let me turn that down. I don't need everything turned all the way up. When you're going through your gear, even the smallest little bit of disrepair needs to be addressed. I can't tell you how many times, especially in the Army, when somebody, I'd go, hey, your rucksack, that strap's a little frayed. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. Well, why don't you turn it in and get another one? Because we didn't repair our stuff, we just turned it in. I used to repair my stuff. They get mad at you in the Army when you repair your own stuff. But I told them, I'd tell people, you know, fix it, fix it, fix it. And inevitably, when we get in the field, it would cause a problem. The strap would come undone. And then we'd have to rig something up in the field. I had this one guy in one of my militias. He was notorious for never fixing his vehicle except on the trail. We'd go out and do a land nav course or something with our vehicles, and his brakes would go out, and he just happened to have all the brand new parts because he knew that everybody would be there to help him with it, so he didn't do it at home. His radiator would go out, and he'd be like, oh yeah, that's been giving me trouble for 2 months. Well, why didn't you fix it before we went to the field? Now, I know some of you are saying it's good training fixing that stuff out there in the field, and it's not going to hurt anything, you know, because it's in a training scenario. Let me try this now. No, it's the jack. The jack's broken. Huh, that's really strange. Okay, so we can't take calls right now, so it's kind of good that Steve didn't call in before we get that fixed. I can always hook up the other phone line. But right now the cell phone's not working the external jack on it. We'll have to figure that out later. But even the littlest thing, a little patch, get iron-ons, you know, fix your gear. It's good to improve your gear, like sewing knee pads into your pants. I do that. Instead of going out and buying the 511s, you know, for 60, 70, 80 bucks, I just take a pair of pants and some extra fabric. I get some padding material. I cut it the same shape. The knee pads that they put in those 511s, they're not square. They're kind of figure eight shaped, like a peanut. You know, they're not as narrow as a figure eight, but more like a peanut. And sew them in. I glue them in to where they need to be, super glue. Remember I said that on the back of the pad. And then sew some fabric behind them. Or if you've got really good BDU pants, you can just kind of slice them open and slip them into the little reinforced knee and then sew it back up. Being able to sew and repair your gear is critical. I mentioned the thing about the vehicle, the guy with the vehicle. You can't tell everything that's going to go wrong with the vehicle, but do some preventive maintenance on your vehicles, especially if you're going to be involved in some type of, you know, bugging out or operational training. I hate it when people show up to a training and they go, yeah, let me get my rescue gear out of the back of my truck, and then they open it up and it's like full of mouse turds or something. It's like, when's the last time you looked at this? Well, when was the last time we did a training? No. Take this time now. Take some time off. This is serious stuff, and a lot of people neglect it. They won't go through and check their gear. I've seen people, like, they go, oh, yeah, I've got this really great Army cot that I, you know, and you bring it out for a drill. They put it on, and they fall right through because they haven't inspected the canvas on it, and it's rotted through. If you catch something early, you can save yourself some money, some time, some embarrassment in training if you fix it. Plus, you learn how that device or piece of equipment operates. In the real deal, you're going to get people killed. In the real deal. I mean, if you show up and your backpack won't adjust to you wearing a jacket and you can't put it on in a hurry because you didn't transition from summer to winter gear, and we have to wait for you to sit there and adjust the straps on your backpack while we're trying to bug out somewhere, guess what? I'm leaving you behind. I am, and this is where you're going to see a side of Dutch you probably don't want to like. You won't like. I can't stand people that aren't responsible for themselves. And the way somebody treats their gear is a good sign of that. If they keep losing it, they don't know where it is. And you'll see these people. They'll buy the same thing three times because they keep losing it. And they're somewhere in their house where it's just set down. You know, that has to go with a disorganized lifestyle. But if you go through your gear like every quarter, you know, or let's just say every 6 months, semi-annually, you're gonna waste less. You're going to trust your gear better. You're going to know your gear better. People are going to be able to depend upon you more. You just show up. Like, I've been using my Camelback. It started leaking recently. So I opened it up, and it actually, one of the drinking tube, rotted through somewhere. I had wrapped some electrical tape on it to hold it into place, and the glue on the electrical tape was caustic to the surgical tubing or whatever it is and rotted through it. Now, had I not been using it on a regular basis, if I went to grab that, fill it full of water in a crisis situation, I'm SOL. I wouldn't have had any water. So we have, thanks to Minuteman, we have a bunch of replacement tubes. I just replaced it and threw it on there. Now I noticed when I put it together that the cap was leaking. One of the ways you can check those things is you put them together. Here's what I do. Just dry them out. Make sure you store them with the cap off so they stay dry. They don't get mildewy or anything. Some people have got enough money, they just change them every year. The one I'm talking about, I've had for 12 years because I've taken care of it, and it's only now starting to fail. What I do is I blow them up. I don't fill them full of water to see if they leak. I blow them up. I tighten the cap on. I bite the valve, the drinking valve, and I blow it up, and then I stick it underwater, and you can see where it's leaking from. And then if I have to, I'll patch it, or if it's too, you know, like I replace the drinking tube because that's easy. But, you know, there's a difference between being frugal and being a skinflint, too. I mean, if I need a new one, I'll go buy another one for $8 to $10 or whatever Stacy was telling me today. She wants to get me one. But if I can fix it, I'm going to. And if it leaks a little bit at the cap, that's fine. That's okay if it leaks a little bit at the cap. This is a 3-liter pack Aquabag that I'm using here, water bag. If it leaks a little bit in hot weather, I kind of like that because it works like a swamp cooler. And it's not going to leak a whole lot from the top anyway because as I drink it down, because I drink a lot of water, it goes down. Canteens, check all your canteens. Make sure you didn't accidentally leave a bunch of water in them. Let everything air out. Let everything dry out. Weird things happen to gear when it gets stored. Don't just go, hey, I stashed it and forgot about it. And that goes, too, if you've got stashes around the property, around the state, around the country. Go check them. Take the time. This stuff, if you don't put any effort into it, it's not going to be there for you when you need it. I've got a stash down in Southern California I have got to get to. I haven't been there in 4 years. No, 3 years. Haven't been there in 3 years. I need to get to it. See what's still going on. See what's there. And make sure everything's okay. You know, contrary to popular belief, stuff doesn't last forever just because you stuck it in a 55-gallon drum and rolled it in the corner. So check out your stuff, not just the stuff you use every day. Check out your boots. It's really weird. People, because you see them every day, you may not notice that your boots are in terrible condition. You know, throw some polish on your gear, waterproof your gear, do whatever it takes. Just take a day or two a month and do it. You know, and you just do it. Don't get in the middle of it and then find out, you know, oh, well, I'm going to go mow the yard, and you get your gear spread all over the garage. Get up in the morning, get it out, lay it out on a tarp, go through it all, get your family involved. Have people counter-inspect stuff, too. You know, hey, how do those pants look? How do those boots look? Hey, did you turn on all those radios? Do all those radios work? There's nothing worse than, like, picking up a cell phone, like right now, and finding out that the external speaker doesn't work on it. Right? It's been probably 2 weeks since I've had to use that speaker, and now I know it's not working. It could be, you know, full of dirt. Could be anything. It's probably something Lou did.
No.
Did you reprogram it, Lou? It's probably something in the programming. It's probably something in there I have to... I don't know. I've let it go. It's gone dead a couple of times because I haven't charged it, so it could be it. So getting your gear out, cycling it, making sure it works. We pay all the attention in the world to what? The firearms. We love our firearms in the militia movement, don't we? We people that love liberty love to have our firearms working top-notch, and we're always checking them and using them and stuff. Well, when's the last time you checked your magazines to make sure they all cycled properly? Maybe that last time you were on the range doing live fire drills, and you're doing tactical reloads, and you dropped a couple mags, you didn't check the lips to see they got bent. Huh? 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 Well, take a look at it. Nothing sadder than a prepper with Alzheimer's, Warland says. Unless, of course, every time you go look for your gear, you think it's brand new, and it's like, you know, Christmas all over again. And you're just like, woo! No, it's not on mute because it's working on speakerphone. But... yeah, thank you, though, ex-cop. I appreciate it. Sometimes it's the simplest things in life that are the problems. I have to take a look at all the settings. But do that. Go through. Open tents. There's nothing. I remember I've gone on, you know, where we've had little musters, and some guy brings his tent out, and the poles that he has with it are the poles for a completely different tent. Yeah, because we're a family militia, we did bring big, full-size tents. We didn't everybody, you know, we're like, oh, yeah, hardcore, all you need is your poncho liner. Well, that's what I do when I go by myself. But if you're going to bring your whole family out to the desert, you know, out past Barstow, and you're going to be out for a week, you might want to bring a big tent. Well, guys all the time, they'd show up, or they wouldn't have the rain fly, or they, it's just, you know, they go, hey, last year when we did this, I put all the sleeping bags in the blue action packer, and now they're gone. You know, I was like, well, honey says, well, I thought you were going to get it. No, I thought you were going to get it. Who grabbed this? Who grabbed that? It's going to happen. But this way, if at least twice a year you get out, you do an inventory and an inspection, and everybody gets their hands on the gear, they'll know what it is. There may be gear that your kids don't even know the name of. And what would happen in a crisis when you say, hey, go grab the trauma kit? And they're like, the what? But if you do it together and say, hey, this is a trauma kit, kids. See this big blue bag with the oxygen bottle on the sign? If I ever say, go grab the oxygen or go grab the trauma kit or get the oxygen or get the big first aid kit, whatever you're going to call it, this is it. This is what's in it. These are the things. If daddy gets hurt and I say, get the clotting agent, hey, it's right here. Look, this is clotting agent. See, this is what it is. You tear this open, you pour it in the wound. Don't ever play with this stuff, but this is if I tell you to go get it. And it's critical that so many people, they've got all this stuff, and I've run into people that go, oh, I didn't know I had that. I just want to slap them because it just makes me feel terrible because I can't afford to get all the things our family needs. And I know guys that can afford everything, but they don't train with it. Or they'll get four or five of them because they forget they have it. And it's just like, why are you doing that? It's just wasteful. It's not being a good steward of your resources and not being a good Christian if you don't know what you have and where it's at. And it infuriates me when people do that. So that's my I guess that's the Dutch Jones pet peeve of the week. People who don't take care of their gear, know where it is, or when they have it, they don't appreciate it. You know, and another thing I like is when somebody shows up for a training, you can tell they just got all their gear out of the wrapper. It's the first time they've ever used it is when they show up the first day at a training. That's not good either. It's just like, what's the rule with boots? You know, break your boots in, break your gear in too. I understand if you're, you know, doing one new thing here or there, you know, you may get a new pair of BDUs or something, but it happens here. Guys will show up with everything brand new. It's like, you've never worn this before? You know, no, never has. Boots are a prime example that'll get you in a world of hurt, but everything else too. Scotty's bringing up again, we did cover that. Check your radios and make sure batteries are not bad. Yeah. You can't say that one enough. Can't say that one. Make sure you have the right batteries. There's nothing funnier. It happens every time we do a training. Oh, yeah, I forgot my you know, I didn't bring the right batteries. I mean, everyone's, it's to me like, would you bring the wrong ammo? If you've got a .308 rifle, would you bring .223 ammo? No. Why not? Because I'd pay attention. Well, pay attention with your batteries, too. A radio can save your life just as much, if not more sometimes, than a round of ammunition. And like I said, it goes back to that paradigm. As militia guys, all they care about is that rifle. How many holes they can poke in a piece of paper and how many yards? You got to get off that. That's target fixation. It's the complete, the total Christian soldier attitude that you have to have, the Christian militia attitude. that every piece of gear is just as important as the next. You wouldn't believe how many times I've had people show up at trainings and they go, they set up their stove, they set up their gear, and they have no way of making fire. They go, oh, you have a lighter? No. You have a flint? No. You have matches? No. Did you ever have it? Well, no, I never got around to it. You know, the basics. You know, fire, shelter, self-defense, you know, these things. You know, how are you going to know if you don't have it if you don't check it until you show up at a training and then you become a burden to everybody else? Slings on rifles. I love it. We've had trainings up here where people will show up to a field exercise with no sling on their rifle. And, of course, Lou and I have boxes of slings. So we'll have to run and go through and go get them for somebody. It takes me off the line. I have to run and huff and puff back to my house. And it's just annoying. Know what you need. Prioritize and get it. Take care of it once you have it. Know where it is when you store it. And take it out and check it for wear and tear. Sometimes just sitting in a box is bad for stuff. You know, there's nothing weirder than seeing somebody break out like a poncho liner that's never ever been unfolded and it's been stored in like a high heat area and it's like brittle. It just looks like they're opening up a cracker, you know, and it cracks and it's just sad. Get your stuff out, work with it, train with it, make sure you know where it is. I got boots, uniforms. I don't even going to talk about weapons because other than this, I have seen people come to the line with a weapon, not know that there's a round in the chamber, and it's stuck shut, the breech, and you have to get a hammer out and hit it because they just stuck it in the corner of their house. And like it happened with a Mini 14 with me one time.
It happens when you do something with a Mini 14 that does that too.
Yeah, Mini 14s do it, and it's like all kinds of stuff. So you gotta chamber check, change mags, check your gear. That's the only thing I'm going to say about weapons, you know. I can't, it's happened a couple times. People have brought a loaded weapon to the range. Oh, I can't get it out of the chamber. I've had people do that to me. You know, that's it. We're only saying that some militias don't like to train with slings. You know what? That's not a very realistic approach. That's an old Warland saying he's done that. I've met guys like that. If you don't want to optimize your weapon and use your sling with it, you've got this weird training paradigm that I just don't understand. You've probably never really been in combat. You know, they're like, well, you should never want to shoulder your weapon. You should never need it for anything. It makes too much noise. No, every weapon should have a sling, period. And, yeah, but you're right, Warland. I have run across that. And I found it's usually guys that come from a very specific school of thought of training, and they think that if you have a sling on it, you're going to get lazy with it and it's not going to be ready. Well, that's just poor training and poor discipline. But there are times that you need both your hands, you know, to drag somebody, to climb over something, to fight somebody, you know, to the ground, to hold them there. You know, what do you do? Hand your weapon to somebody, lean it against a tree. So, yeah, make sure you have a sling on your weapon, especially around me, because I'm not going to hold it for you. I'm not going to tie up my extra hand because you didn't want to have the discipline to throw it over your shoulder. The foresight to do that. So, yeah, good point, Warland. I forgot about that. I have run into people that don't want to train with slings. Let's see. What else was there? Your food products, obvious. I'm not even going to go on your food rations. Just check them and rotate them. You're all big boys and girls. You should know how to do that now. You shouldn't even be reminded to do that. Waters, things like that, first aid kits, comfort items. In your first aid kit, moleskins, things like that. Keep an eye out and make sure that the packaging's still good, that you haven't used them and not put them back. I always find it funny that I find a lot of folks will pillage their survival gear, whether it be combat or survival gear, and not replenish it. And then when they need it, it's not there. They'll open up their can, show you everything they have, and you see a bunch of empty Band-Aid wrappers. What happened? Oh, well, my kid filled out. Well, why didn't you replenish it? You know, that stuff will get people killed. That'd be like, and I always say, and I go right back to it. Again, if you're not going to forget to replenish the ammo in your vest, are you? So why should you forget that with everything else? If you go to the range and you empty all your magazines, what do you do when you go home? Those magazines that are on the ready, you fill them back up again. So why can't you do that with the rest of your stuff? Ex-cop saying it happened to him on the line at the academy, not good to have a round in the chamber. Yeah, we've had negligent discharges here, a handful of them, less than five, but one's too many. where we go up to do dry fire, and somebody lets off a round because they didn't secure their weapon. So then I have to play. Yeah, it was a revolver, too. The same guy twice. One guy. But then we've had other ones, too, Lou. But and then I have to play babysitter and go through and check everybody's weapon. And I don't want to have to do that. You know, especially if we got a real deal going on. We got a disaster or martial law or we're fighting the bad guys. I don't want to have to go around and check everybody's gear. We should be better than that. We're supposed to be Minutemen. You know, and we should be better than that. When Lou shows up next to me, I like to think that if I go, hey, man, you know, I need your knife real quick, he's got it. I shouldn't have to ask him because I should have mine, but you get the point. Or, you know, hey, Lou, you know, you cut your arm there, throw some bandages on that, you know, get that, stop that bleeding. Where's your first aid kit? I'll help you. Oh, I didn't bring it. I'm going to go nuts. Well, then I'm going to tear up your T-shirt and stuff it in the hole and throw salt and sand in there and spit on it, grab a little dog poop and rub it in. Because I have no sympathy for people that don't show up to the game with all their gear. And I'm sorry to be so hard. Well, I'm not sorry. Why do I do it? You do, oh, I'm sorry if you don't like it. Yeah, I could care less if you don't like it. Because you need to hear it. The truth is, people in America have gotten lazy. I got fat and lazy. I'm trying to get unfat, but I'm not lazy. I spent all this time working on my gear the last few hours, and I feel good about it. It gives you a sense of security. I know that in the middle of the night when that knock comes and the British are coming, I literally can be a Minuteman now. Stacy's going to have to help me get my vest on, but I'll be able to run out and take my position on the road with my pastor and those next to me. And that's the way it should be. I shouldn't be going, honey, where's this? Where's my hat? Honey, where's my shoes? Where are my keys? That's why we, you know, you do it in your normal life. You have a place where you put your keys. You have a place where you put your cell phone. You have a place where you put your checkbook. Why then should you pay less attention to your survival gear and your militia gear? You know, I know finances, but I'm talking things just like sewing stuff up, putting things together, categorizing them. If you need knee pads, make sure the knee pads are right there. Look at how a fireman does it. I remember when I was in the fire service. The boots, the pants, everything's all there. They can be, you know, the whole goal was to get on the engine and be in the street in less than 3.5 minutes from the time we get the call and the doors go up and the engine starts and all that. Why should a Minuteman be any less? Why should a Minuteman be any less? Folks, I want to thank you for tuning in. We're not going to have a second hour today because Steve Klein's playing with the grandkids, and I think I've said everything I need to say to you. And hopefully you'll take it, you'll run with it, and right after you get done listening to me, you're going to go check out your gear, at least a part of it, and make sure that it's in operational condition. Because hopefully, you know, we'll never need it, but if we do, it gives you a huge sense of security. It makes you feel better. I was panicking last week because it's been 6 months since I've gone through all my gear. And I went through it, and I feel better, and I want you to feel better, too. Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning in. I am Dutch Jones. Remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard. But here at Stronghold Radio, we know that victory belongs to the Lord alone. So get ready, stay strong, let me know what you think. Email me, donate if you can. We need the fiduciary support as well as the prayers. We'll be back tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have the phone fixed. If not, we'll hook up the old hard line again. God bless you all.